Today's episode is brought to you by the support of Furno Grills. What's up, everybody? I am podcast host and restaurateur Brad Barmore. I have had the opportunity to cook on a lot of things, guys. Kettle grills, offset smokers, pellet grills, open pits, reverse flows, gravity smokers, cabinets, ugly drums. My Furno is hands down the best grill I have ever cooked on. You know, with gas grills, most folks get caught up in the BTUs, but it's really how well you can control and hold the heat that matters. And Furno grills happen to be a revolution in gas grilling and the ultimate cooking machine for the backyard cook, as they are designed and engineered with firewheel technology for the ultimate in precision heat control. Furno is the only gas grill with height-adjustable burners, custom cast iron grates, and a fully insulated hood so you can sear without burning or cook slow and low to perfection. I've done steaks, burgers, chops, veggies, oysters, salmon, briskets, chicken, pork butts, tri-tips. Yeah, I cooked them all in the Furno, and it has impressed me every time. Plus, it looks modern and really sleek in the backyard. It is unlike any grill I've seen out there. Project Smoke, Steve Reichlin, Forbes Magazine, AspiringGentleman.com are all raving about what the Furno Grills are doing to change the grilling game. Check them out on Instagram at Furno Grills, or for even more information, including recipes and financing options, head to www.furnogrills.com.
That kind of shit. What's wrong with our society?
Yes, but that is for a different podcast.
That is for a different podcast. This podcast that you are listening to now is episode 115 of the Sports Meets Beer podcast. That's it. That's a wrap.
115. Call it a day. Call it a day. I am Brad Barmore. Across the table is Ben Perry. We are live and direct in full effect.
Yeah.
Check us out on all the social medias.
You can check baby, on. Check baby 1, 2, Twitter, Instagram.
And Facebook.
Sports Meets Beer.
Yeah, the feast book.
Which on an unrelated note, I'm about 75% the way there to killing mine. My personal one.
Yeah, I'm not on it nearly enough. It's just sort of tied to Instagram.
Yeah.
And like it's super easy to just share whatever Instagram photo I'm putting up.
Right.
You know, I'm certainly, yeah, the whole, just the algorithm that they use and then the political arguments and all that kind of stuff. Just
you know,
it's not a platform that
the politics aren't bothering me. I can shut those down. Algorithm, I could take it or leave it. What kills me is I've turned off every notification possible. Yet I get notified of someone wiping their ass or someone. The worst part that kids me is like, it'll say, for example, like.
Your friend Jeff was reminded he had corn last night.
Yes. So it's like the Based Mode podcast or Outside Slant podcast, right? It reminds me to like the page. So what do? Like the page. I've checked on the notification. I'm done. Oh no. Facebook wants me to do it again and again. I've liked that page 4 times. Hasn't increased your viewership, but it keeps reminding me of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Notification pops up. I clear it, slide it over, get it out of my face. 35 seconds later, bing, same notification. It drives me crazy. I wrote them a scathing message to their tech support that has gone unanswered thus far, but that's not why we're talking
about. I'm sure that it has. They have other fish to fry.
Right.
As in, they're going to support all the defense at Area 51 because Mark Zuckerberg doesn't want his parents discovered there.
Nice.
In case.
Well.
Speaking of social medias.
Yes.
At Sports Meets Beer. Meets like the protein, M-E-A-T-S, Sports Meets Beer. That's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. You can also email the show, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. And you're going to probably want to email the show if you participated in the recent Windsor Chili Cook-Off, because that is what this episode is about.
Yes.
We're doing a little setup here. Ben was unable to join for the day. I was joined by friends of the pod, Danny Wright, Steve Osborne.
I'll give you this. Steve Osborne is a solid fill-in for me. He is more attractive and even funnier. So you really got a double upgrade.
Yeah, yeah. So we sat down at this thing. We had our own booth. It was 96 degrees outside in Windsor. Ugh. We had our own booth. It was furthest away from the beer that it could possibly be. But that was unavoidable because we couldn't be so close to the stage. The beer was very near the stage. So we made do. We made do. They actually had like a real like American Chili Society or United States Chili Society, like
the USAC.
Yeah, whatever it is. They actually had like a chairman there to actually like oversee
USCS.
The
USCS.
The SEC, yeah. ACC, Big 10, Big 12. Who knows?
Pac 10, Pac 2, Pac your brother.
Yeah. So they actually had somebody there to like oversee the judging to make it like a real sanctioned event. And so it wasn't just the usual tomfoolery of like, hey, let's put these 12 guys up on this flatbed truck where they can see everything that's going on and seeing who's delivering the chili from what booth.
Right.
As we've seen in events in the past. So that didn't take place.
You mean when you drop it off and they go, hey, Brad.
Yeah. Oh, hey, this one's yours. Great. more appropriately. Oh, this one's not a firefighter one. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we got a good, like, I don't know, hour, 45 minutes to an hour of content and just rambling. We had a couple beers. It was hot. We were laughing at people's shoes. We had this whole thing. And for whatever reason, as it was my first rodeo as the engineer / producer on an on-site, let alone any podcast that we've recorded, I have not been between this one, Outside Slants, and between this one and Outside Slants, I've never produced anything. I've never had to work the board. I've never had to do any of that kind of stuff.
You just show up and it's go time.
I show up and it's go time. And so for my first one to not only be without you, to also be live on location, it just...
A little dicey.
Yeah, it was a little dicey. But so the first hour that we did just did not come out. I don't know what the story is. I changed zero settings. I even listened to it back after we took a break to go get some more beers and whatever. I could even hear it in the receiver there. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, it seems fine. It seems fine. So I just hit stop and I just went to go record again. I don't get it. So then we got called to do the judging. And originally the plan was we were going to take the mics with us and do a podcast while we were judging chili.
Okay.
We brought the mics into the tent. An old Duffy.
USAC.
Yeah, Duffy, who was a really nice guy, was like, what are you guys doing? We go, we're here. We're gonna podcast while we're tasting the chili. He's like,
Section 4 of the United States Chili Association.
He's like, you know what, man? If you guys want to talk about like the chili experience, like the judging experience as a whole, that's fine. But I don't want you guys affecting the integrity of the judging by talking about the chili specifically. So if you guys are planning on reviewing the chilies to each other, because that doesn't really fly. But if you guys want to sit there and talk about, you know.
Wow, being a judge is everything I thought it would be and more.
I was like, all right, well.
Way to bring it down, Duffy.
I go, all right, well, we're not bringing the mics in here. And he goes, no, you guys totally can. I'm like, you know, I understand. I just don't want to create a scenario where you're going to get mad because one of us says something that you think is inappropriate. And it might be or it might not be. I don't know. But it just, let's just eliminate it. And we're happy. He's like, well, I'm sorry, guys. Like, no, it's all good, man. We'll get Steve goes, we'll get content out of this.
I assure you, Duffster.
So this opens, the way this episode opens when it gets rolling here is I say back from a quick commercial break because we had already put on like an hour's worth of content that's unusable. And then, you know, we tasted the chili. So we kind of get rolling from there. And like I said, if you participated in the Windsor Chili Cook-Off as a competitor.
That email address again is sportsmeatsbeer@gmail.com.
Care of Steve Osborne, Danny Wright, Brad Barmore, and not Ben Perry, for he was not there because it is not a pretty show. The best chili that was there definitely won, but it's like having the highest grade point average on the shortest bus in the fleet.
The best of the worst.
Man, and the guy that won is a good dude.
The tallest 5-footer in the room.
He's a good dude, but man, was he pumped. He thought that he...
This was it.
Just conquered.
It was. Was the excitement level like, I can't wait to tell my coworkers and friends, or was the excitement level like, I'm quitting my day job and now I'm going to be in the chili circuit?
It was more of like, I've been working for this my whole life type of crap.
Oh.
Like, and look, his chili was good. His chili was good. He actually tried to bring it over to us because he knew that I was judging. And I guess I'm not going to say his name on the show, but you and this gentleman have met before, apparently. Because he said you and... He said...
Dropped?
Yeah, he said, I thought you and Ben were judging. I didn't know who these guys were. Because he'd try to bring samples over the table.
Oh, man.
And so we were like, no, everybody's judging. We can't do it. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. So then when he won, I told him, I go, well, we'll bring the samples over now. So now we'll know which one of the ones on our notes it is. It actually was the best chili, but on a scale of 1 to 10, the highest grade he got from any of us at the table was an 8, and he won.
Wow.
He won. And that's all I'll really say about it moving forward, because some of the stuff that...
I can't wait to find out who this guy is.
The best thing about having Steve join us is that he's not only tasting chili, he's mining for punchlines also.
Oh, so yes.
It's
harvesting
really
in the crop of
really
potential
good.
Jokes that he will say on stage.
Oh, man.
I think his social media post said it all. He said, I'm judging a chili competition in the morning, and I'm doing stand-up the night before, and I'm probably going to have diarrhea on myself. Probably shit on stage. So
one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely...
All right, well, let's...
It was definitely touch and go.
Let's roll into episode 115, the Windsor Chili Cook-Off results, the tasting,
yeah,
the recap.
Make sure you enjoy it, guys, because I don't think they're going to want us back next year.
Yeah. Judging by this episode, how this podcast is going to work out, probably one and done. All right. Thank you.
After that short commercial break, everybody.
I'm a stand-up
We are comic. Back. We have had the chance to sample the chili. I wanted to bring the microphones into the judging tent, and they did not allow it. Old Duffy poo-pooed.
They wanted integrity.
Yeah.
No. So their first mistake.
Which means they invited the wrong guys.
Yeah. Right. Although I already got welcome back next year.
The thing that
you did.
How did you get welcome back?
Radio.
The way that you put the spoon back into the bowl.
How many times did you reach for the dirty spoon?
I actually contaminated the new spoon bin by putting a dirty one in. If I'm being totally honest,
I was pretty
locked in. They
did
different color bins.
Can I just start this off by saying, what didn't we eat? Because there were ones that got weeded out prior to us.
I know which one was the mortuary. I'll tell you that right now.
Yowza.
Oh, you do, huh?
Oh, there was human flesh in one of them. 100%.
The one that tasted like ash, I'm assuming,
the one
the
that had flesh hanging from the spoon, I think, might be.
Go to your notes. Give me your
When you
three...
use fingernails as filler.
We're going to start with the worst chilies we ate.
Yeah.
Because I know that we were all very, we exercised a lot of integrity. We were very
We don't
objective.
Know whose was whose.
We don't. We're not going to read off the numbers because it might
Well, just
get
out of curiosity, what was the lowest score you gave total?
So here's the thing. So I judged it like I do, like I'm supposed to with barbecue, forgetting it's out of 10. So I judge it like it's out of 5. And I go, oh, I'm an idiot. So then I just multiplied it out by 2, right? Somebody got a 4.
3.75 was my
What's
lowest.
What's that?
As your lowest was a 4?
Somebody got a 4, yeah.
I think my lowest was a 4 also.
3.75 was my lowest. My highest was a 7.5.
I think I gave someone a 9.
So I gave an 8. I gave one 8.
I'm comfortable with where I'm at.
Yeah. I think what that comes down to really is the texture, right? Like the consistency of the texture. I think that's the thing that differentiates. Because your palate is solid. Your palate is good. Yeah. Like,
and you know, it's subjective too. You know, like I'm not a fan of liquidy. I like it thick.
Well, the thing is, chili's not soup.
Exactly.
It's
Thank
also
you.
Not crock pot pulled pork.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
There's
Holy
an in between.
Smokes.
There's
there
an in between.
Yeah.
Were,
there was one in the regular submission.
Yep. Yeah.
There was one in the.
So I thought it was a home style one. Rerun.
They just turned around and turned. Yeah, I was like, isn't even good crock pot pulled pork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, There was one in the homestyle that was absolutely pulled pork.
Let's talk about the one that got served in the Marlboro Man's boot.
What in the world? On the nose, I immediately go, yeah, that's ash. And then I put it to the mouth and I was like, there may be good flavors in there, but I mean, try a filter.
What was the one you said before we went back on? You said there was one that was marinated in ketchup or something. There was definitely
there was
a ketchup one.
It was like
ketchup. And it's like, hey, judge the red. Well, that gets like a 10 in the red.
Yeah, I gave it like an 8.5 or a 9 in red. But it tasted like it was just ketchup and molasses.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
And then, yeah.
I had one that said, taste like pea soup. How did they make chili taste like pea soup?
Yeah, that's the best thing about having Steve do this is that he also wrote punchlines.
Right.
Yeah.
I had one that said, I guess it's chili.
What about the one that Brad wrote mold on?
That was the black bean one.
Yeah,
the black bean one.
That one was like opening a can of black beans, and that's the end of that story.
It was like a can of black beans that they dropped the can into boiling water, like when you make I can't remember now. But like you drop it in there and like you just kind of like pop the top to let it steam, and then you open it, it's all stuck to the side of the can.
Yeah.
But it looked like that's what it looked like they did. But unfortunately, when you do that to black beans, it looks like mold and mildew.
Yeah. Yeah. My comment on that was, "Oh, look, black beans."
You need to have, cuz I use black beans in the chili I make. I do. Either sometimes I'll put different beans in it also, or you have to have just other stuff in
you
it.
You also got
to
strain out the black bean juice.
You got to strain out the juice, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But usually I'll put something else in too, so it's not just black beans.
Yeah, black bean.
You know, like chili.
Black bean goo is like when aliens would like get shot in movies and they like the black would come out their mouth.
And then it turns into acid and burns a hole in the ground.
Exactly.
Well, especially using the stuff straight out of the can. I mean, it's like.
Yeah.
Well, I actually thought the flavor was okay. The flavor on that was okay. It just.
Not
the texture
super creative.
Was atrocious. No, not super creative.
I had good but cat food.
Was that a texture thing?
That was actually a taste thing. Don't ask me how I know.
Wow.
One was chili I'd get at a local fair, I guess.
Okay, so how about the one that they thought, oh, curry's creative.
Right.
And they used curry, like they said, we sauteed the onions and garlic with curry, then we seared the meat with curry,
right.
Then we made like a curry juice.
Maybe I'm old school, but that's not chili to me.
No, of course not.
But that's the thing, is that's like, I think that they knew creativity was a challenge and it's like was part of it. It's like, yeah, but I mean, creativity with purpose. I mean, you could sit there and say, I melted 7 crayons in it. That's pretty creative, I guess.
That just feels like somebody that like got a bunch of like curry powders as a gift for Christmas and didn't want to use them. So they were like, we already signed up for this thing. Let me just fucking use that. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, chili.
There's so much curry.
So chili's one of these things, though, it's like, I think it exists primarily in a vacuum, right? But like chili, it could go either way. But like there's the family chilies. My family loves my chili, or probably more specifically, my church potluck loves my chili, right?
Right.
And that's
right.
The spiciest thing that they get in, they encounter like all year.
Yeah.
But then you come out here against, you know, head to head on chilies. And it's like, not so much.
No.
But I still, you know what? I want to taste the ones that didn't make the cut.
I do too, but also, are you disappointed with the amount of heat we got?
Yeah.
I was actually surprised. You mean you wanted more heat?
Yeah.
It was like no spice.
That's a tricky situation, I think, because like I like spice in my chili, but over the years I've actually dulled mine down because my kids, it's one of the 4 things my kids eat that I make. So I've dumbed down the spice on it so that they'll eat it.
Well, if they had a junior's round, sure.
Well, but so I think though it's such a subjective thing, the spice that, you know, they may think that, because there were a couple that had some spice and they might have thought that they really went nuts on the spice.
I had to eat the bread palate cleanser things like for 3 chilies.
In my mind,
the ones that were hot. Yeah.
In my mind,
but they weren't like terribly hot.
In my mind, great chili balances spice with flavor. So spice that doesn't overpower, spice that isn't a novelty,
that's
spice that actually opens up the capillaries and allows these foods to come in. When I make my chili and we make ours, it has diced jalapenos, not enough for like, you want them fresh, you want them to be crisp, but you also have Louisiana hot links to go in there as well, because it adds, because it's intentional spice with intentional flavor, and those things go together.
Not to get like food nerdy about this thing, but the beautiful thing about chili is that you're getting all the like char and roastiness from like when you pre-sear all your meat. That Maillard reaction will release a lot of juice, it gives a lot of texture. Then you're adding your alliums, your onions, your garlic, that kind of stuff. That gives you all your sweet. Then you're getting like garden depth from all your peppers. And then you're going to add your heat after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people don't, like if they just go right to like, they go from meat. They don't take the meat out. They go ahead and char all the onions in it, which means they're just steaming it.
Yeah.
And then they add all the chili pepper powders right then. And we got a lot of that today. Because there was heat, but it wasn't flavorful heat.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the same thing with salsa too. You know, if you have salsa that's too hot,
right?
And you, I went to a Mexican restaurant once that had, I don't know, whatever their hottest salsa was. The hot wasn't very hot to me, and I was like, I want the next step up, and it was so hot that I couldn't taste anything,
right?
And my face fell off.
That's the challenge food, not.
And then I challenge accepted because I was like, well, I paid for this, so I'm gonna eat all of it.
Of course.
And I did, and almost died.
How about one of the ones that I wrote was, this is the worst minestrone I've ever had.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There was one that was like that. And then another one that I wrote was, smells like tomatoes, tastes like undercooked smoked beef.
Oh, baby.
There was one that I mentioned earlier that was very fleshy.
How about there were two that were basically pulled pork, but how about the one that was also a salt bomb?
Man.
That was one that was, it was so much freaking salt, dude. Ugh.
By the time I hit the second round, I was like, I don't know what this round, home style means something very different, right? Yeah.
So when you make your own chili, do you put beans in it?
We have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, we do, I mean, like, so we do the filler chili, but you can do that, but you have to do the beans right.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's the thing, is you don't just dump the can and walk away.
No, they got to be rinsed.
They have to be rinsed. When my wife used to make the chili, she would actually take, you know, the dry beans.
Yeah.
And that's how she would approach it, right? So you'd approach from a dry bean up, as a, you know, so there's, you know, you're not letting, you influence what those beans are going to do.
How about the salsa verde chili?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So your reaction is not positive.
Thing is, I don't mind a salsa verde chili. It
actually tasted good. It just wasn't chili.
It was so runny.
Yeah, so I gave it a 7.5. I wanted to give it an 8. I gave it 7.5 because I thought it smelled good. The salsa verde flavor was awesome. But man, was it runny.
It was so runny.
So runny. Yeah.
It was hard to get past the runniness.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I look at it, and like when I opened it up, I was like, okay, this is what I expect in a home-style chili. Here's the variation. Here's exploring the space. And I was like, well, what did you do? What did you do? Why did you do this?
It was an unstrained Mexican vegetable stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically the texture that I got out of that thing.
There's a difference between being creative and then just making something up that has nothing. Like, I could have, you know, you can make any soup and be like, here's my chili for tonight. You'd be like, no, that's not chili.
The best chili here was a chili. I'd be like, okay. I mean, honestly, I don't know that there was, I personally didn't have a chili that was like, that's good.
I like beans in chili, and the first round without the beans was actually better than the second round.
I agree. And I'm a bean and chili guy too, because I like beans.
Yeah.
I like beans.
The second round.
I'm not apologizing for my love of beans.
You should not.
Thank you.
The second round had one that was Chef Boyardee. Did anybody notice that one? It was opening a can of SpaghettiOs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How much brown sugar and molasses can you use?
That was, it was so sweet on the nose.
And this is clearly not Heinz ketchup you've used. This is Hunt's.
Get the fuck out of here.
With the Hunt's ketchup.
Right.
Or the fancy kitchen ketchup.
This is the Windsor chili cook-off. Splurge on Heinz.
But, you know, some of these are probably, you know, family recipes or whatever, the homestyle ones at least.
Sure.
That they probably did use ketchup and things like that.
Of the six barbecue sauces we sell at Kinsmoke, four of them use ketchup.
Yeah.
But, like, Heinz, first of all. And second of all, we understand how to balance that stuff out.
Right.
This smells to me like, well, my family's made chili this way for 40
years. That's what I'm getting at,
I'm giving it a twist this time.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to use 3 cups of ketchup instead of 2.
I can tell you right now.
Just like backstrap molasses, so I'm using
that. A cup of ketchup sounds disgusting.
They're over here going, there's not a firefighter here that's thought of it Dr. Pepper in this chili, and they've gone ahead and crushed it.
I'm actually, you know, the fact that there aren't more firefighters here, the last time we competed, everybody had, like, kiwi or pineapple or some kind of, like, so, like, kiwi, pineapple, or papaya, because it helps break down the, there's an enzyme in those fruits that break down, like, connective tissue and beef and stuff.
Oh.
And so that you can actually use, like, instead of using ground or whatever, you can use, like, real beef and it really pulls apart. But we don't have that level of professionalism here.
Right.
No. And see, earlier you were all upset at the firefighters for winning every year.
Well, I still am upset about those firefighters winning every year.
But now you miss.
Walk us through your chili that got jobbed compared to what we saw today.
So for our chili, we take a number of dried peppers and we rehydrate them. And then we basically make like a mole, which is like a 6-hour process in and of itself. A bunch of dried peppers, onions, garlic, tomato paste, anchovies, beef broth.
Wow.
Puree that down, let that cool overnight so everything comes together. Then we take short ribs and we cut them off the bone. We cut them into small pieces. Then we take pork shoulder. And that's it. Sear all that stuff off. Take that out. Take onions, garlic, a bunch of different peppers. Cook that in the fat from the meat that you rendered down. Then add the mole sauce. Let that reduce. Then you add your beef broth, your ketchup, your whiskey, your
A number of things.
It's already more ingredients than I put in my chili, but go ahead.
But you let it reduce down, and then you, like in the last hour, you add another like spoonful of whiskey because it, as the esters burn off, it pulls out all this stuff out of the nose.
Yeah.
And then just a couple little corn chips on top, a little sour cream. It's all you need, man.
See, and those are little things that obviously not everyone puts in their chili, right? Like, I mean, obviously, you just listed a ton of stuff that we don't put in chili. But
just tell us, what did we get there? We didn't get them like individual servings. How did it come?
It came in big containers that we put a spoon into.
Yeah, like 20-ounce styrofoam cups. Yeah.
Right. So the presentation wasn't there with sour cream and chips or whatever.
Right.
Garnish you normally put.
Matt, like when I did a cocktail judging at a recent event. Like the person
he means Saturday night,
right?
The person
at home,
person is presenting it to you in the glass that they want you to like. You may drink it out of like something like plastic, but it's
right because they have a whole thing.
It's presented in front of you in the glass it's supposed to be in with the garnish it's supposed to have. It's the whole.
It's just like any cooking competition TV show.
Yeah,
they have it set up the way it's supposed to be set up for you to enjoy it.
Yeah,
plates that they cut it off of.
But I love what Brad described, and I like to think that there's a place here that's like, the secret is three different cans of Fancy Feast. Most people would just use the one, but what I do is I use three, and I don't do an even ratio of all three because I'm not an amateur.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a savage. I'm not a savage. You can't just go all beef.
Yeah.
You gotta go like beef and tuna. You gotta add the tuna in.
That's right.
Jeez. And the fact that you're even making that, your wife is like an animal nutritionist. You should know better than this, Steve, for the love of God.
She's like, if you put Whiskas in our chili, I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah.
Meow mix.
And what? Yeah, a little meow mix on top for garnish.
Right. Blue bison, I'm into it.
That's right. You know what the thing is? And it goes great with a nice hot plate of snossages.
There it goes. Now, I have one spot of chili on my shorts. Yeah. Anybody else?
I am chili free, man.
No, man. Brad's legs and I were almost touching, and we both had stains on legs that were corresponding.
I was like, if I'm spilling this chili, it's going back in the pot. You can eat it over here on my left.
So that's the other thing is they didn't really give you an explanation of, maybe they did and I didn't notice, but of sort of, technique on how to like eat it. So I wasn't sure if I was supposed to eat it over the thing.
Definitely not that.
Right. Which I did twice probably.
I did it every single time.
Just eat it right over like you're eating vomit.
Yep.
Yeah. Perfect. Sweet. All right, threw a dirty spoon in the clean spoon thing. So that they asked me to come back already.
Windsor Town Councilwoman Esther Limo saved my life. I didn't get sepsis because I almost reached into the old spoon cup to get a spoon out to eat.
And she
a
was
chili,
so nice.
That's probably going to kill me anyway.
She was so nice about it, too.
I know. She was like, hey, jackass.
Hey, sweetheart, that's not the right one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I have a chili stain on my pants.
So gently on mine. That's, yeah. Don't use that
no,
one.
No, please don't do that. Please vote for me.
The only highlight for me was that Esther recognized me from one of my gigs. That's all I care
she
about.
Did.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was an auction thing.
Nice. Yeah.
That was great.
For the Hispanic Chamber.
That was so good. That's what
she said. For the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, because why wouldn't you book me for that?
The only thing that I found funnier is the fact that Dominic Fapoli is our mayor in this town.
Hi-yo! Hey, now!
Nobody in Windsor knows how to download a podcast. It's fine.
You've seen the analytics.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I have more listeners in Australia than I do in Windsor.
That's
all my
true.
Podcasts.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
I'm actually, you know, you said, you know, you don't like chili. I'm now, like, very much in the mood for a good bowl of chili. Do you know
where
I can find a good bowl of chili in this town, Brad?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me where.
You can head up to Healdsburg. We make it. The Publican also makes a really good bowl
no.
of chili.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're shocked to hear that. Oh, I also have one more that I wanted to bring up. I think you might have already mentioned it when you said, I want a bowl of chili that doesn't taste like I can get it at the fair. Was that the one that smelled like fries on the last day of the fair when they haven't changed the oil?
That's what it was. It was the old oil. It was that. I was like, everything reminded me exactly of going to one of the trucks and being like, this is everything, right? Is there corn dog in this? Like, it had it all. It had, yeah.
Where that might have been an upgrade, actually.
Where you get the funnel cake and you're like, oh, this doesn't taste or smell sweet at all. This tastes like a Chili's Kitchen.
The old oil, it was like right on the nose, right out the gate.
Yeah.
I couldn't, like, that's exactly the only comment I could come up with. That's exactly what I was brought to a simpler time when I had like $7 and I was like, I guess this is the cheapest thing I can get.
When I had $7, so I made a 5-gallon batch of chili with that $7. That's basically the equivalent of that crap. Oh, here's the thing. I wanted to like some of the chilies, man. I know I joked about having like a personal vendetta out as a judge, like maybe harder than I even should have. But there, like, if you win this, I mean, you should be happy that you won. But it also means you should still go back to the drawing board.
This is this right now. This chili competition was the Democratic National Convention of chilies. I mean, we're all like, yeah, someone's got to win, and I'll probably root for the winner. But at the end of the day, I don't know what I'm getting. I don't know if this was the best we had to offer.
Well, yeah, there was probably like one that was like had like crawfish and like pork belly in it because it's delicious and people love it. But they were like, listen, that's not the one we're going for.
Right.
So they just completely like shut him out.
That's a little out of control. I mean, no, seriously, I like what you're doing. I love the concept. But I mean, is this really electable?
Yeah, listen, we're going to go with her instead, I think. This other chili chef. Hey, Democratic jokes. All right.
No, we're having fun.
But you're probably not too far off. I mean, I think that there was probably more.
Well, there's chili that thought it was way more progressive than it really is.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Do you? There's a young lady sitting in the mortuary table right now. Who wears more makeup, the average dead person or this young lady that's sitting there?
I think that she's actually the model, and when they bring her in, they're like, more.
She lays down with her hands on her chest.
Your dead person could also look like this.
Right. What do you do? What you do is you take a little needle and you stick it through her makeup, and then it's like a dipstick, and then you go to the next guy and go, look, you got another quarter inch.
You're baking a cake and you put the toothpick in?
Yeah, no, not done yet. It's not done. It's still coming out moist.
Actually, she's been dead for 3 years. No one's popped her yet, so she can stand up, move around, and talk.
That's Pulitzer or the Nobel Prize of embalming right there. So how many people would you say showed up to this thing, including the judges? There was, what, 12 judges? So what, 18 people?
Yeah. And all these guys are just waiting for the fates. And I looked around. I don't know if you guys looked around or anybody else. There was, in the second round especially, a lot of grimaces.
Well, that's what – so the lady that organizes, Linda, who's the best, she looked at all of us and goes, I'm playing poker with all of you guys.
Yeah.
Because none of you were able to hold yourselves together.
See, but I wasn't sure that were we supposed to have poker faces?
Ideally, yeah.
Second round, I was all about not showing my tell. I didn't look up. I just, next.
I mean, they told us not to comment publicly, which I didn't do.
Right.
But I also made faces if I didn't like it.
There was one chili so bad I laughed.
I'm a human.
Yeah, there was one where I I went full Brandon Belt Gumby shoulders and like stared at the ceiling, like just stared straight up.
Yeah,
what's
I took
up,
a
girl?
Taste
of
one and I went, and I just gave out a. Because I was like, come on.
Yeah, I just.
Where's the chili showing?
That's right.
I just like rolled my eyes and like stared at the sky, like, God damn it. Like, wait, please.
Yeah. Well, and that was a little concerned when I came in. I'm like, oh, I appreciate being brought in as a sub. I like to think that I have a pretty good, chili background. I think I've earned the opportunity to judge other people's chili. We've made great chili. I used to have chili at the house that, like, all my neighbor kids would be like, at school, they'd be like, wait, did you say that you guys have chili at home? And I would have a whole group of kids, and we would sit around, and I would just be ladling out chili. It was a real thing. This is a thing we did, so chili mattered to us.
I think the first year I worked at the radio stations, which has been 13 years now, that we had a potluck and I brought chili that I made, and for 7 years of that it was, are you bringing the chili again?
Yeah,
like, no, I'm not.
Chili is a unifying concept
just to maintain power over these people.
That's right. They'll never let me go if they know there's a possibility that I might bring chili again.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, same thing, like, and same thing in my neighborhood too, like, we'll have chili and people like it. And so, by no means am I any kind of professional, any cook, or barely a professional radio person, but like, but I feel like I have the knowledge to do this because I know what I like.
What good chili tastes.
Yes.
All right, well, hold on. So you just kind of made a comment that struck something in my brain. Just, you said I'm barely a professional radio person, which I don't believe is true, but.
Thanks.
I also, there's a part of me that got through some of these chilies like, maybe I don't understand what this is supposed to be.
I'm
out of my league here.
I thought
because
that
I'm
too.
Some of these chilies suck.
But again, I'm a bean guy, so the first round I was kind of a little distraught.
So you're
about
like,
every
a little
bean.
Out of my element. That's fine.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure.
And then
everybody seemed so happy that first round, and I was like, oh, this. I mean, they and They were better than the second round for sure.
Because I was happy I survived the entire round without barfing. That's why.
I don't know. I was like, this is not what I would do.
As a guy who's gone through a lot of comedy competitions and has watched some incredibly bad
I could see where you could confuse the two.
Right. No, for sure.
Indigestion is a common thread.
I've sat there and I'm like, oh, I'm not funny. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Anybody that's ever laughed at my jokes was wrong. This is what they want.
That's true. I think that's true in any profession. I've had people over the years tell me they either like my radio station or my show or whatever. And sometimes ratings are good. Sometimes they're not so good. Whatever. And I've always thought maybe I just make good radio for radio people and not for other people.
Oh, I see. You know,
like,
I see.
Because radio people are always telling me how they love this, they like this, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, other people do too. But sometimes I'll think that too. Like, I wonder if it's an industry thing. I wonder if in the industry, I'm like, they think, oh, this is really good. You're doing a good job. And then the average person that I'm actually supposed to be talking to.
Sure.
Maybe they don't think it's as good as I think.
We ate a lot of Dane Cooks today.
See, Dane Cook two times in one episode. Look at you.
He doesn't deserve that much.
Here's the thing. So I have a similar reaction, but mine is the average person loves our barbecue, but like, are people who are truly in barbecue, are they really love it? Like, am I really making noise here?
Right.
I had the same sort of thing. So I felt the same thing. Like, are people who know chili, like, do they love this stuff?
Yeah, have I been doing this wrong this whole time? Because the people that have had my chili enjoy it, so are they also wrong?
Right.
They haven't had brisket in a tub before.
Well, see, I had a moment, too, but
was there brisket in one of those things?
Or whatever
it was. I don't know what that was.
Pulled pork, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that was just, it was
a hoof.
Jerky.
It was a hoof in one of them.
Gelatin.
I was like, I wish I had a chili right now. I was like, okay, guys, you want a palate cleanser? Here, have this.
Yeah.
It's like somebody didn't understand exactly what a pork shank was. So they just served a hoof.
We ate a lot of Orlando Magic thinking that there was no other NBA teams.
Oh, no.
They're fine. I mean, they could win a game or two.
It's fine. You know, if you got to bring the kids, it's a great time to just bring
what?
The kids.
I mean, maybe the NBA is not the main reason you're here.
Yeah, and plus, like, you're not going to be eating it in June. You know, it's just one of those things.
No, it's way too hot for this chili.
That's true. That's a great
point. Especially in Orlando. June in Orlando seems miserable.
That's funny you say that because I've thought that, too. Like, a couple times. I've thought over the summer, like, oh, maybe I should make chili. I haven't done that in a while. I'm like, yeah, it's too hot to make chili. I'm not making chili.
Yeah.
This was not a temperature problem, guys.
No. But you have to be in the right mindset for sure.
Yeah, chili, like the all day, like simmering on the stove chili is totally a football Sunday thing.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, then you work the first three nights of the week and then the kids get to eat chili on their fries and on their sandwich.
Or whatever.
Or having sloppy joes. And
yep.
Whatever else,
take
and then you
work.
Show up on Thursday and they've eaten all the chili. You don't have to worry about throwing it away. Not that it's ever really a concern, but now you get to make something new and you're the hero again. And mom's the one that had to serve the leftovers.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of throwing away chili here, guys. And that should never be the case.
What is the standard for the amount of chili they have to make?
Just make 5 gallons minimum.
5 gallons. See, I've never made that much chili in one sitting. So
you gotta make 5 gallons minimum, and I can and then you give out like 1 ounce samples to everybody. So they made
1 ounce samples to the people that attend the event.
Yeah. So how much chili? Those cups didn't get all the the last person with each cup didn't scoop out the last bit of chili
that we had.
That we had.
Oh,
right?
not
so
at
there's
all.
A bunch getting thrown out of the tables.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And then I there's half. It's probably.
Because
listen, I want to be clear. This is a great event. It's super fun. It's a rough weekend. It's like a rough time of the summer because like people are on vacations because it's in between the fair and
oh, totally.
So like,
it's a scorcher today. It's pretty hot.
It's pretty hot.
Today, it's a decent turnout.
It's
all
a good weekend
considered.
Though for it, considering all the other things that are going on in the summer.
Yeah. So this probably not the turnout that like they would love for this thing this year. It's been much busier in other years, and it will be busier in years after.
I know radio station they can advertise on.
Yeah. Exactly. Linda.
Linda, listen.
They ask you to put together 5 gallons of chili because they want to make sure they have enough for everybody.
Sure,
and then they have
a
turnout like this, and it's like.
Right.
So there is lots of chili being.
Yeah.
You know what?
All that being said, if they had a full turnout, there's also still a lot of chili being.
Right, yeah,
if they had a full turnout.
But that's better than not having enough.
If they had a full turnout. This is like one of those things where it's like, if you have a concert that's got a lot of bands that aren't very good, but you have a lot of people are like, I don't think I like to go to live concerts.
I think you mean Country Summer.
Fair enough. Yeah. Because you have a situation now where a lot of people, like you, to your point, are like, well, maybe I do or do not like chili. And then they go through and they run the gauntlet and they're like, yeah, I don't like chili.
See, but I don't think that the people that were here trying the chilies have the same, I don't want to say pressure because I didn't really feel pressure, but the same responsibility.
You're going to feel pressure in a little bit.
I
promise you that.
That part is already starting.
This isn't even worth having diarrhea over if I'm going to go out.
But they're walking around, they're just trying chili, and they're just like, oh, this is chili, whatever. But because I think we went into it with the mind frame of, we're judging this. It's a competition. And then now we're like second guessing what we even know chili to be.
When chili is nobody so here, bad, you rethink chili.
Nobody else here is thinking that. Nobody
that's
else
an
here
amazing
is thinking
thing. That. Yeah. That's a powerful moment. Yeah. That's something that we, you and I, Danny, have considered an anchor of our potlucks, of
yes.
our group
that's
gatherings.
That's what everyone requests.
And then now we're questioning everything we ever thought we knew about chili. We're
The next
situation.
Potluck I have in my cul-de-sac, Danny, are you making chili? I don't know. I went to the Winter Chili Cook-Off.
I won't call it chili.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it Danny Sauce because apparently chili is a different thing.
I'm making my usual thing. I just don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
Oh,
here's my
God.
Meat bean stew. Hopefully you enjoy it.
Some were so runny. How do you get away? You know
I can't stand when it's
runny. Because they rushed it. They rushed it. Their heat's too high.
But I've seen that in just life. Like when we have potlucks and people bring chilies, sometimes there's always that person that has the soup, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not chili.
I can only assume the chilies that didn't make the cut, like one of them was just a Hot Pocket that they just opened up and just poured into a cup.
Like
I mean,
87
I mean,
Hot Pockets that they just opened up.
What didn't make the cut?
There's one that like I know that they took like, you know, like the bear claws they used to pull pork. They did it with a tomato and water. Like that's just all it is. Like sprinkled bacon on top of it. That's like, that's got to be one of them. It's got to be one of them. There's no other way that they didn't survive.
Wow. Yeah.
Either that or like they were all on par like this, and what they did is they just wrote everybody's name on a big grid and just threw a dart at who got to make it.
Yeah, I feel like some of it was just like whatever was from a scratch and sniff sticker, they just made that a powder and then sprinkled on top of like just some tomato sauce. Because there was like, I think this is a smell I recognize, but it's almost like an impersonation of a smell.
Right.
Oh, you know, it was another one that I actually didn't enjoy tasting, but I enjoyed that it was a submission, was the freeze-dried corn one.
Wow, yeah, we didn't talk about the corn. The only,
corn.
The only corn?
The black bean one had corn in it, didn't it?
The black bean one.
You couldn't get through the black beans to see.
Yeah,
I didn't go to the corn at the bottom yogurt that was, apparently. But yeah, the corn one was just
Were there two black bean ones?
No, the corn one just came through.
I think
and it
the
was,
two black bean ones came in the same cup. That's why it was so thick. Two black beans, one cup.
I swear there was one. Wow. Wow.
So thick. That's just all. And it grossed me out to watch people eat it, so.
I stopped looking at people during the second round. I
never looked at anyone.
Head down, just like, yep, nope, not going to. What are you going to do?
If you chewed more than, like, 3 seconds.
For the record, it's fucking chili. You're not supposed to chew anything.
Well, but
I was pretty scientific,
I don't know. There was
too.
some pretty chewy meat in some of those.
I was pretty scientific.
One of them
the
was brutal.
Yeah. I opened the lid. I got the aroma. I didn't even look at it. Then I looked at it, put it on the spoon, took a look at it. I set it in my mouth and just let it sit there. I stopped doing that after a while because I'm like, this has got to be.
Because that literally was it taking a dump in your mouth.
Yeah, it
that's
was.
Because
at first it was like, I'm like, I'm letting it soak. And then there was one in particular that like the taste, I think I gave it like a 5. And then the aftertaste was like a 2. I'm like, wow, that got bad.
So was aftertaste supposed to be a good thing?
I had one that was the other way. I thought the aftertaste was better than the actual taste.
I had
taste.
One of those, too. I was like, oh, this isn't. I'm like, oh, was that better than I thought?
I was like, maybe I'm just the endorphins from being thrilled that I'm done with that bite have just masked my enjoyment.
You should go around to every booth and see who has stains on them, because this lady is currently cleaning her. She has a wet T-shirt contest.
Oh, you want to know what's awesome about that girl? That girl used to work for me.
Oh.
And we fired her because she took her shirt off behind the bar because she spilled on it and had to change it.
She's about to do that right now.
She's on brand today,
She's
guys.
About to do that right now.
I'm not joking.
Something's never changed.
I'm not joking. I saw her a little bit ago. Oh. And, yeah. I won't say her name.
We should do a chili stain.
But she is literally on brand.
I guarantee you, whoever's listening without her name knows who she is because she's still doing it. So
more water. There's more water.
She's pouring wicked slush on it right now. It's a whole thing.
Whoops. Like, you go to a Gallagher show because you know that he's going to hit the watermelon. You come to the bar that she's bartending.
Are people still going to Gallagher shows? Is that a thing?
Is he even still alive? Is his brother now or something?
His brother now, right?
He
took the mantle.
In fact, we might be Facebook friends.
Oh. But didn't his brother
Leo
take the
Gallagher?
Didn't his brother take the mantle of Gallagher?
And did he?
I thought so, and like started doing shows.
I'm fairly certain we talked about this in the draft preview.
I know we've talked about Gallagher, but I don't know if
John Candy movies are coming up. Don't say anything.
The Great Outdoors, guys. Dan Aykroyd's overrated. Fight me.
No, we've had a hard time. People that are listening to that are like, yeah, I think you're right, man. We didn't always think that, but now I think
you know,
think
I wanted
that.
To debate, but I can't.
I think you're right.
As soon as they saw Dr. Detroit again, they're like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, you
Meanwhile,
mean this,
the people
mean
that
this
make Dr. Detroit are like, look, another view. what's that about?
Oh, no. Because he had the Blues Brothers sitcom that he did in addition to the Blues Brothers
movie. Oh, my God. Why?
Yeah.
All right. According to Wikipedia, in the early 1990s, Gallagher's younger brother, Ron, asked him for permission to perform shows using Gallagher's trademark Sledge-O-Matic routine. Gallagher granted his permission on the condition that Ron, who shared a strong likeness to Leo, and his manager clarified in promotional materials that it was Ron Gallagher, not Leo Gallagher, who was performing. Ron typically performed in venues smaller than those that Leo Gallagher performed in.
Yeah.
After several years, Ron began promoting his act as Gallagher 2, T-O-O, or Gallagher 2, T-W-O. In some instances, Ron's act was promoted in a way that was left unclear the fact that he was not the original Gallagher.
That's amazing.
It's like Oasis.
That's amazing. That is... Wow. Wow.
I can't believe it's not Gallagher.
Does the original Gallagher get a piece of that action? He must, right?
Only
he must.
A sledge-o-matic.
Listen, you don't think that he knows how to use that sledgehammer outside of the average summer fruit? He knows.
There's a very dark Tarantino-directed scene where Leo Gallagher's got the sledge-o-matic around his, around his, on his shoulder, going around, going around.
And then Carrot Top somewhere is involved, right? Sure.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. We're getting a reaction from the studio audience that Carrot Top is gross.
Carrot Top, well, yeah, I didn't say he wasn't gross. I'm just saying he's also a prop comic that probably is involved. It's got to be a small community.
Is Gallagher technically a prop comic?
He's got to be. That's a prop.
Yeah, let's go to the comic in the room.
Yeah.
Is he technically a prop comic?
His prop comes out at the end, right? It's not like he doesn't do the whole set, right?
Okay. It's like, here comes the sledge-o-matic.
No, but this is. I think you're asking all the right questions because I know comics that have like a hook, right? They don't do music throughout the entirety of their act, but then they finish with like two or three songs, right? And that is what most people will remember,
right?
So when you talk about, you know, how many?
Because I couldn't tell you one thing Gallagher's ever done.
How many people talk about Gallagher's spot on, you know, like social commentary jokes?
Never.
That he does. It's always.
Leo or the other one.
Right. So it's a fascinating... No. Leo
or
yeah, Ron.
I couldn't tell you.
No, but I think that's... So that. Yeah. So what? Where does prop comic end and begin, right? If you're known for the prop over the... Like, you just did an hour, and like 45 seconds to a minute of it was with the prop, and all people
that's
seem
all
to know you
remember.
As a prop. Are you then a prop comic?
Yeah.
I think that bears evaluation.
Yeah, if that's what you're known for, that's what you got to be.
Gallagher's
right?
signature sketch is a pitch for the sledge-o-matic. So it's a sketch comic. So it's a sketch thing with a prop, though.
But see, I mean, I'm not. To be fair, it's not like I've followed his career, so I can't tell you all the.
I have a friend that does a lot of one-liners, and you've seen him before. And he finishes with this very elaborate Coors Light. Bit, right?
Oh, God.
And it's a great bit, but it's very different
Chad,
than the rest of what he did. Chad Opitz.
Chad Opitz, thank
and
you.
And so a
yeah,
lot
it's
of people,
so good.
Most people remember him for that, but they've enjoyed him all the way up until then.
Yeah.
So then again, I wouldn't say that he is like a, whether you want to call it an act out or like a sketch bit, but, or like a sketch comic.
He just knows how to use the space. He did it at what was then Sonoma Cider, and he like walked up on the scaffolding like near where like the brew tanks were and stuff.
Yeah.
Did this whole huge thing. It was one of my favorite bits I've seen.
Yeah.
It was so good.
And
so,
that's what it's most meant. But also, it's a transcendent bit, right? So it's not that like Ed helped you forget what you thought you was okay. It was like if he didn't have a great set, that
right,
makes it
yeah.
transcendent,
yeah.
right?
So now I haven't seen a lot of Gallagher shows.
Right.
I've seen like when he shows up on.
You ever
Comedy
leave
Central
before the watermelon bit? You're like, okay, I think we've got everything we need.
So like, but I watch like
show up for the watermelon bit.
I watch the crowd reaction. Do they laugh at all the other jokes just to kind of get them to hurry up to get to the watermelon bit, or do they like laugh to get it to slow? Maybe if we slow it down, he'll run out of time and he can't do the watermelon bit.
No.
I mean, what's your sense? It's like
are sitting in that section, they want the watermelon.
Right.
Right. It's like sitting in the splash zone at. You know, Discovery Kingdom.
Nancy and I were at the show, and we got hit with the watermelon.
Yeah. So they know what they're getting into.
So Danny will appreciate this because you know he's in the industry.
He's in showbiz. Sure.
We went and saw Men Without Hats the other day.
Okay.
Right. And
you can dance if you want to.
They finished with safety dance.
Sure.
Because they're not morons. Right.
Right.
But so
the fact that they did it is impressive because there are some artists that don't even do their biggest hits.
But we're going through it. We're going through the whole thing. And I actually was like, this is my take. I was like, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This is really, they're really fun. They're really great. But it was because I went in there with the, all right, I'm going to wait until Safety Dance shows up. And then everything up until then was gravy. And then if it was good gravy, it was even better. Right. So it's kind of like an even more, like their stuff was elevated. because of the fact that I had assumed, like, well, I have no idea what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said for that. So maybe a person like a Gallagher, but no one can remember, though.
Right.
Well, I at least can remember that they did Pop Goes the World. But, like, I can't tell you a Gallagher joke ever.
I just know that he calls everybody gang. That's he just refers to the crowd as gang.
Gay?
Gang.
Oh, gang.
Gang. G-A-N-G.
I was like, wow, that's edgy for Gallagher, I think.
Yeah, for a guy in suspenders and a friggin' newsboy hat, yeah, that seems a little edgy for him, yeah. For sure.
I like that. I like the idea.
The guy that crushes fruit at the end. I'm like, wait a minute, man.
Oh, no.
That's right. Yeah. My wife has suggested that if we finished each round by just smashing chili with a sledgehammer, maybe this thing would have been more entertaining.
Or just stood up and just smashed the styrofoam. Yeah,
I mean, what were they going to do when it was done? You throw it away. So we could have done something spectacular.
That would have been a pretty baller move if I just, like, out in the third chili, I just get up and walk away. Just so, nothing else. I go, yeah, you can take my
So what if you went and saw Men Without Hats, and then they didn't do safety dance?
Well, exactly.
You'd so what would upset. You feel? Would you be upset?
There was a time where Prince was doing smaller venues. This is probably 20 years ago now. And from what I understand, it's not recent. No, because dead. But I
saw his last show ever.
Wow. Really?
At the Oaken Coliseum.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, Melanie and I went. So, it was him and a piano and then like 20,000 of us.
It was probably
amazing. It was amazing.
Well, I was working in Sacramento and he had done like a smaller gig because he was doing like these lounge shows.
Yeah.
And I was working at night. So all these people were calling after the show was over to the radio station. They were like, he didn't do one of his hits. Not one. Everything was from whatever new album had come out at that point.
Musicology, probably.
And I was like, you're spending, even if you're in a small venue with Prince, you're probably spending, you know, $80, $100 to see him. And he's not going to do one of his 15,000 hits.
Well, it's weird because there's nuts. Like this sort of blurring of the line of like, do I love this guy's songs or do I love this guy's music?
You love the songs.
Well, because we went and
but
like
that's the thing. I would give Prince a pass before I'd give Men Without Hats.
Yes, that is
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
And I will get to Howard Jones in a second because that's germane to what we're talking about.
Yeah. See, because I like we went and like he did, you know, he did Little Red Corvette and he did Raspberry Beret and he did.
So that's plenty.
Yeah, but he did.
I think that's acceptable.
If he did Nothing Compares to You on the piano, that's all I would ever need.
He didn't do that.
Wow.
He didn't do that. But it was still like, he did like five encores. He played a bunch of songs nobody knew.
Sure.
Yeah. Played a few songs. And it was amazing, right? Yeah. But like, you know, like there were people still that like were like, well, he didn't do Doves Cry.
No.
You know, like he didn't do that.
See that? But if he did a handful of them, I think that's good. I went to Chris Cornell, the late, great Chris Cornell, did a show at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
And he had this album out that was not very popular that was actually, I wouldn't say it was a hip-hop album, but Timbaland produced the album. And it was actually really good because he was phenomenal.
Right.
And all the songs that came out were really good from that album. And my wife and I went on Halloween night. She was pregnant with our oldest. We went on Halloween night to the Fillmore to see Chris Cornell. And the opening act was Timbaland, and he was horrific because all he did was everyone else's songs and just yelled the entire time. And I'm like, okay. Then, of course, Cornell comes in, and the whole show was him doing that album from first song to last song. Oh, it wasn't anything from Audioslave, or he didn't do Black Hole Sun. He didn't do any of that
stuff.
He didn't
do that terrible cover of Billie Jean that he did?
No, none
okay,
of that.
Good.
But he's so good that I sat there going, wow, he's phenomenal. So many people there thought that he was going to do every rock song he had ever done.
Right.
And he didn't. They didn't know what they were getting into. And I was standing next to people that were so pissed that he wasn't doing any of those songs. I'm like, well, what did you expect? To his credit, he's so phenomenal. By the end of it, everyone is cheering because he's just so talented.
And see, that's my question is, like, at some point, like, whether it's the Prince thing or Men Without Hats or even Gallagher, like, are you there just for the one
You're
bit?
You're there for the one
Are you
thing.
There for the Jeff Foxworthy bit?
I think it's
Jeff
Foxworthy subjective because it depends on the artist.
Whose responsibility is it now? You as the audience member or the artist, right?
If it's Gallagher, you are expecting the watermelon.
Sure.
And if that doesn't happen,
yeah,
that's
if you're Jeff Fox, you're going to Jeff Fox, you're waiting for the You Might Be a Redneck
yes,
if, right?
Like, 100%.
Like, whatever their shtick is, if you're going to a Bert Kreischer show, to bring it maybe a little bit more contemporary, you're waiting for
and
him to tell...
he leaves his shirt on the whole time?
Yeah, he tells the machine story. Yeah, exactly. If he leaves his shirt on, you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Well, when
spend $35 to go to the Mystic Theater see Bert Kreischer leave his shirt on.
Men Without Hats were featuring for Howard Jones. And so we're going to see Howard Jones, and somebody had critiqued, because somebody had seen him like the night before, and they're like, I don't want to hear all the new stuff, Howard Jones. And I was in the mind that I was like, I know the hits. And I wouldn't know if anything that wasn't the hits was his new stuff.
New or old, yeah.
Or his B-sides from like 80, sure. Like from 85. Like, I wouldn't know, right? Like,
yeah.
So I didn't have that like degree. And to Howard Jones's credit, I think he did the entire new album, but he absolutely did Everlasting Love.
You have to.
And he was doing songs from Better Off Dead.
Yes.
And he finished with Things Can Only Get Better, right? And that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And what it did was it made us go like, well, maybe his new album's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the difference between any of these. But he did. But he understood where he was in that range.
That's an old school artist thing, though. Like,
right?
The way to promote, how to promote the new album while also keeping people satiated with the stuff that they came to kind of see.
Like Corey Feldman, when I saw Corey Feldman at the Mystic Theater. Like, he knew
as
so
a member
well.
Of the Feldmen.
Yeah, that's right. I am one of the Feldmen, the unofficial.
I didn't know that was a thing. This is new information.
You do now. We've learned a few things today.
We
that the Feldmen is a thing. And
more
that
than a few.
Good chili doesn't exist in Windsor outside of the restaurants.
Yeah, this wow. This chili was the Corey Feldman of music is really what it is. It's
Well, I think it's important, you know, that
some of them were the Corey Haim. Some of them.
Yeah, because they had turned.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. They had been embalmed.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute.
Windsor.
I'm looking over the mortuary.
Right.
I just, I only bring it up, you know, it's...
Sauced boys.
Talk about these shows you go to, you expect certain things, and maybe they don't happen, but maybe you still have a good time. I expect a good chili. That didn't happen, but I can tell you I had a good time.
I had a great time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can check us out on all the social media, Sports Meets Beer. That's Twitter. That's Facebook. It's Instagram. You can email the show, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. You can also check me and Danny out at Outside Slants, a 49er podcast. Steven and I will be recording something soon, the old Stay Golden Warrior podcast, and then also Pickles, Kyle Castillo, our own. Well, he's not the full triglyceride correspondent. That's Kevin Brink, but he's sort of second in command with that situation. But me and Pickles and I have Base Mode Podcast. Please support them. Otherwise, my wife gets mad.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
And I haven't even started recording one of them. Danny and Steven, thanks very much for being on with Sports
Beer.
Thank you, man.